William Morrow and Harper Audio present The York Patrol, the real story of Alvin York and the unsung heroes who made him World War I's most famous soldier, by James Carl Nelson, read by Jacques Roy. A note before we begin. For maps, a list of sources, and a bibliography, be sure to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/audio/The York Patrol. Author's note. The author has retained the original spellings and punctuation in all quoted material. My grandfather, PFC John Nelson, served in the 1st Division in the Great War, was severely wounded on July 19, 1918 at Soissons, and spent the next nearly 9 months recuperating in a series of hospitals in France and across the United States. On April 1, 1919, he was handed $60 and his discharge papers and moved on, like most doughboys, to a fairly anonymous life, devoid both of cheering parades and much appreciation for what he had done and what had been done to him over there. Still, it could have been worse. He could have returned a hero. This book is about one doughboy who did return as a hero, as the hero of the American Expeditionary Forces, and the men who were with him on October 8, 1918, in France's Argonne Forest, when he performed a deed that would cause the public at large to regard him as a one-man army. During the 45 years between Alvin Cullum York's return to the United States and his death, he was lionized, written about, and fussed over, and he did not glory in the attention so much as endure it. He endured, too, whispers and allegations that sought to spread some of his glory to those who were with him on that day when his world and his life changed. The York Patrol is York's story, but it's also their story, and hopefully gives the best and most detailed account of what actually happened that day in the Argonne, and of how heroes are made and legends created, for better or worse. 1. The Day. Thick mist clung to the wet brush, grass, and mud across the front that morning, covering the ground like soggy cotton as men woke and stirred and prepared themselves for another day of slogging, another day of battle from the Bois de Consembois along the Meuse River to the village of Saint-Étienne, west of the Argonne Forest and east of Reims on the high ground of Champagne. One of them was Private Henry G. Costin of Company H, 115th Infantry Regiment, 29th Division. When the advance of his platoon through the woods was held up by intense enemy fire, Costin, just 20 years old, gathered his automatic rifle team and led it forward through a hail of machine gun and mortar fire. Costin's brave act would lead to the surrender of some 100 Germans, plus several machine guns. But he himself would not live out the rest of October 8, 1918. Near Saint-Étienne, below the Aisne River and at the plain above Blanquemont, taken in early October by the 2nd Division, Sergeant Samuel M. Sampler and Corporal Harold L. Turner, both with the 2nd Battalion, 142nd Infantry Regiment, 36th Division, also advanced with their companies that morning, only to be stopped by savage German fire. Sampler, 23, would later remember that of the 178 men of his company who went over the top that morning, more than 100 were killed or wounded within minutes. The survivors dug in, while Lieutenant Emil Hornke rose to scout out the German line. He fell almost immediately, a bullet through his heart. Sampler then rose, grabbed 3 German hand grenades that he had picked up during the advance, and stepped out and rushed toward the machine gun that had caused such damage. His first 2 grenades...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?